Drug company Johnson & Johnson is ordered to pay $572 million for its role in the opioid epidemic in Oklahoma. Plus, Brazil faces growing international pressure over raging forest fires.
The number of forest fires in Brazil, mainly across the Amazon, has soared 85% this year compared with the same period last year.
And despite a cool down, buyback season may not be over for some big tech firms. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli. Let's start with Johnson & Johnson. The company says it will appeal a judge's verdict that orders the company to pay $572 million for its role in the opioid crisis in Oklahoma. It's the first case of more than 2,000 brought by states and municipalities to go to trial. Two other companies implicated in the 2017 lawsuit along with Johnson & Johnson settled ahead of the trial. Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin, agreed to pay $270 million, and Teva Pharmaceutical Industries agreed to pay $85 million. The next trial related to the opioid crisis are set to begin in Cleveland, Ohio in October. Ferdinand Piëch, the man credited with transforming the company into a global powerhouse, has died at the age of 82. Piëch was the grandson of the original designer of the Volkswagen Beetle. He served as chief executive of the company from 1993 to 2002 when he became chairman. Piëch was forced out from Volkswagen after unsuccessfully trying to unseat his former protege, Martin Winterkorn. Winterkorn resigned soon after when U.S. authorities accused Volkswagen of cheating emissions tests. President Trump says he's open to meeting with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani. His comments came during a joint news conference with French President Emmanuel Macron at the Group of Seven summit on Monday. Wall Street Journal executive Washington editor Jerry Seib says while a meeting between the two leaders is possible, several practical obstacles stand in the way.
The Trump administration's conditions for a meeting with Iran are quite strenuous. A year ago, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo laid out 12 demands that he said the U.S. would insist be met in any new deal with the Iranian regime. These include not just an end to the nuclear program, but also an end to any ballistic missile program the Iranians might have, as well as an end to Iranian assistance to allied forces around the region, including Hezbollah and Hamas. Now, of course, the Iranians wouldn't have to agree to those conditions in advance of negotiations, but simply to engage in talks with the U.S. would suggest a willingness to consider such demands. And again, that would be very controversial, very unpopular inside Iran.
For more, check out the video on our website at wsj.com/video. Big tech stocks are losing steam. The so-called FANG stocks, which are Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google parent Alphabet, account for about 20% of the S&P 500's value. But they've been struggling to reach former highs even after a rebound from last fall's sell-off at the start of the year. Together, they've lost nearly $415 billion since August of 2018. And after more than 3 years, the Drug Enforcement Administration will begin advancing applications to study the health effects of marijuana. The department received more than 24 applications after the Obama administration announced it was seeking applications from growers. The Wall Street Journal's Sadie Gurman says it's being seen as an incremental but important step forward.
This is significant because for the past 3 years under Attorney General Sessions, there was no movement on these applications. So basically, this is the first step toward approving more marijuana researchers for federal studies.
The Justice Department also says it will propose new regulations for growers selected for the research program, but did not give a specific timetable. Brazil is facing growing pressure from international leaders over fires that have been raging in the Amazon rainforest, most of them set intentionally to clear land. Many are blaming the surge on the environmental policies of Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro. Joining me now from Brasilia with more is Wall Street Journal reporter Paulo Trevisani. So, Paulo, many are pointing to looser restrictions for the uptick in fires. Can you tell us more about how this surge began and why we're seeing a rise right now?
Yes, the new government of President Jair Bolsonaro was elected last year with a very strong constituency among the Brazilian agribusiness, mainly grain producers and cattle producers. And one of the pledges that Bolsonaro made to this constituency was to loosen up some of the environmental restrictions in Brazil. which are often criticized for being very confusing and sometimes hard to keep. Of course, there's a gray area there, a debate whether or not the law enforcement, the environmental law enforcement, is being too tough on farmers. But that is something that Bolsonaro promised to do. And critics say that a lot of people out there in the forest understood that as a sign that they could do whatever they want in the forest. Thus, the rise in deforestation and fires, which the government denies. The government says that, you know, Bolsonaro last week said that he's going to be tough on any type of lawbreaking, including environmental lawbreaking. But that's one of the criticisms that is made against him.
And so how widespread has this now become? How much land has been destroyed?
Well, we have some data here. About 370 square miles of Amazonian forest was lost in June alone. That's 88% more than the same month of 2018, which is a huge jump for deforestation. And the number of forest fires in Brazil, mainly across the Amazon, has soared 85% this year compared with the same period last year. That was the highest since records began in 2013. That's according to a government agency that tracks deforestation and forest fires in the Amazon.
And Paulo, we should mention that at the G7 summit, there is an offer to provide financial assistance to help Brazil combat these fires.
Yes, they're offering financial help, and it's clearly needed. Fighting fires in the Amazon. You see, the Amazon, when we're talking about the forest Amazon here, we need to keep in mind, we're talking about an area as large as half the continental U.S. It's huge. There are no roads, there are dirty roads, and it's hard to get to the fires to fight them. So yeah, it's expensive. It needs money, and any help would be welcome. Except that President Jair Bolsonaro doesn't seem to like that type of offer so much. He spoke to reporters, and he said, you know, he raised questions about this offer. He was questioning the reasons behind the offer. What do they want? Brazil has, throughout the history, Brazil has had to struggle sometimes to keep the Amazon within its boundaries. So it's a very sensitive issue for Brazilians and for this government in particular. So it's not clear at this point whether or not Brazil's government will take the G7 offer.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Paulo Trevisani joining us from Brasilia. Thank you so much, Paulo.
Thank you for having me.
The second quarter saw a marked decline in share buybacks. Our Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher says buyback season isn't over for big tech firms like Google and Facebook. He joins me now from San Francisco to explain why. So, Dan, first let's put this in context. We've reported on a big decline in stock repurchases among major companies. What drove that decline?
Well, I think in a broad sense, there were companies saw a big increase in cash from things like the tax overhaul that brought, you know, there's a lot of these companies had a lot of cash sitting offshore that they were able to kind of repatriate and had to do something with. So I think that fed into some of it kind of in the most broad sense. Some of the big companies, the big tech companies that have been big in buybacks lately, most particularly Apple and Oracle, that was very much a factor there, especially with Apple that had this record amount, over $100 billion stashed offshore. So, you know, they made pretty clear that if they were able to bring that back, a lot of that would go and be returned to investors. With Oracle, I think there's also a factor of the stock has been weak lately because of some things going on with the company. So I think they really elevated their buybacks as a way to kind of help support the stock.
So now let's turn to those companies that could have more motivation to accelerate buybacks. You write that among them are Facebook and Alphabet's Google.
Yeah, those are an interesting case because these are newer companies, you know, much younger than Apple and Oracle are. And it was really until pretty recently they weren't doing any buybacks at all. Or, you know, there's a lot of tech companies that do very little, maybe to only offset some share dilution. But for the most part, you know, returning cash to shareholders via buybacks has not been a big factor for a lot of these companies due to their age. Both Facebook and the parent company of Google faced a similar thing with Apple. They had way more cash than they really needed to run the business, you know, and they've come under kind of increasing attack over the last, you know, year, year and a half in the political sense, which has kind of at various times weakened their stock. So I think there's a mix of reasons why the companies thought this was a good time to kind of step in. You know, they had the cash to do so. It was good financial policy for them. But I think it also probably was helpful in the sense of giving investors, you know, something positive when there was just so many negative headlines around.
Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher joining us from San Francisco. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday morning. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.